Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Welcome to the show today. I am super excited to introduce a guest who started out as a listener, which is always the funnest thing to have somebody connect with me that's been listening to the show. And I talked him into coming on to the show and doing an interview with us. And I know he's going to have a ton of stuff to share. And he's put up with my total technology problems. But I think I have finally got them fixed. I spent 3 hours last Friday with my friends in my podcasting group. My big sound waves are nice and big today. So I know I'm still yelling, so I'll try to not be so loud. Anyway, welcome to the show, Joe.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for inviting me on. This is really kind of cool, to be honest.
Cool. All right. Well, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I just turned 50 years old this year. I live in Orono, Maine. It's in eastern Maine. Graduated high school in 1983. I left Orono for the Navy for 4 years, but ended up staying out of state for 24 years, and I came back in 2007, back to Orono. I actually live in my grandparents' house, but will soon be moving into my parents' house, which is where I have the garden that that we'll be talking about. I'm a custodian at the local elementary school. It's a school that I went through as a kid, so it's kind of cool to be back and right back in town. I really like it a lot.
Okay, and I have to give you a huge shout out because as an elementary school teacher, I know how valuable your job is and how, like, none of the school could run without the custodians, and it's good for the kids, it's good for the teachers, it's good for everybody. So I give you a huge thank you and shout out for doing that.
Appreciated. It's actually really fun, to be honest. You know, I don't get to see the kids too much because I'm usually an evening. Uh-huh. But I get there for the when they're leaving and get to wave to them in the hall, and they're all very very full of life, and that's nice to see.
Yep, lots of good friends who are custodians. Excellent. Okay, well, so you know how I'd like to start the show by asking about your very first gardening experience. So go ahead and tell us about that.
Okay. So the house that I'm moving into, my parents' house, when I was a kid, my grandfather had this really, I mean, it was huge to me as a kid, garden behind the house. This house actually sits up on the embankment of the Penobscot River, which is one of the largest rivers in Maine. So the garden was huge. Now, I didn't actually garden in it. Now, Jackie, now that I'm older and I'm gardening actually in that same spot, which we'll talk about, mm-hmm. I like to think of myself now, but when I was a kid, as my grandfather's quality assurance checker, because I loved walking out of the back door of the house and going and just picking a cuke off, rubbing the dirt off on my jeans and eating it, or a tomato, or pulling up a carrot or a radish, you know, whatever. I didn't actually help my grandfather except to make sure that everything was fresh and yummy. But
that's
my
what my
first
grandkids
garden...
do.
See, quality assurance,
like,
I'm telling you.
How do I get them to come up here and weed? Who weeds? They just come up and pick carrots and cucumbers and things. No, they're
yeah,
hard-working kids.
Yeah, that's what
kids.
I did, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
But my first actual gardening experience, I think, was probably... and you're going to chuckle, but I lived in Philadelphia for 12 years, and I lived in South Philly, and those are all row homes, so you really don't have any space behind your house except for maybe a 6x10 spot. So this row home I was in, I had a little brick wall that I built up on my little deck that was maybe 2 feet high and, you know, 4 foot long, and I went to Lowe's and I bought dirt. It wasn't organic. Now I realize this, but I also bought tomato plants. So I was growing tomatoes in my little back deck in South Philly in this little 4x6, maybe 3x6 spot on my, you know, 6x4 deck. But it was great to just walk out and pick tomatoes, to be honest. But it was because of what, you know, my grandpa had seen him always growing, and my parents grew in that same garden. So I've been around gardens a lot, took a break, but now I'm really back into it.
Cool. Aw, that's sweet. And I think that will inspire people that do live in an apartment that, oh, maybe just a tomato plant will get me going. So.
Yeah, or an herb in a pot. You know, mm-hmm. those kind of things are simple to do.
Mm-hmm. Or one of each. They're nice companion plants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening mean to you, Joe?
It's really, to me, I think it's just really not using the pesticides and the poisons. That's what I'm doing this year. That's really been my focus. Really, you have to respect your food by respecting the soil. And I've really tried to just live by that since I've put this garden in this year.
And that's so important. You know, I talked to this old friend of mine from high school that we reconnected on Facebook, and her interview is going to be, I think, next week sometime. And she also lives on a river in New Jersey, and she realized that everything that flows out of her lawn goes right, or even out of her driveway, like anywhere, goes right into the river. And she said that was
right.
a huge thing to her. And your photos on Facebook are gorgeous of where you live. What a beautiful setting.
Yeah, it's really nice.
So who or what inspired you to start using organic techniques then?
So I play a game called, a sport called disc golf. People might know it as frisbee golf.
Or fun.
And about, yeah, it's really fun. And about, I think it was around 2010, you know, it's just a couple years after I'd moved back to Maine, I was meeting the people up here in the disc golf community. And a friend of mine, Noah, worked for a local garden center that really promoted a lot of organic growing. And he just had one day during a frisbee golf or disc golf round, he was talking to me about Monsanto. And I was like, who? I felt almost embarrassed that I didn't know this already at this point in my life. And then just more research that I did, I was like, holy wow. So it was just learning about that and, you know, how people use those products to kill stuff, but it's going right into the plant and then into them. That really made me go, wow, you know, this is, when I have a garden, I'm not going to do that. So it was really Noah that got me on that path.
Cool. That's my grandson's name, Noah. I like that.
Oh, nice.
And we're always, I'm always learning tons. I mean, we can't all know everything. So, you know, you learned when you needed to.
Right.
How did you learn how to grow organically then? Did, like, from that garden center, or you started, like, reading some books or websites, or?
Yeah, in my town of Orno, there's a farmer's market, and most of the farmers, or a good portion of them, are organic farmers. And so I started going to that every Saturday in the summer when they're up there, and I started talking to people and asking them questions as I was buying their produce and their melons and things, and I really kind of went to one more than others for no other reason than I just enjoy talking to them, Snake Root Organic Farm. And I just learned so much from them about it and from so many of the other vendors at the farmer's market that really started guiding me when I started gardening with a smaller garden in the house that I'm currently in, a garden that I share with a couple of neighbors, which is near that raspberry patch. You've seen those pictures of the raspberry patch. And so that right away, the first time I did a tiny garden, it was just a few tomato plants, some hot peppers, and some cucumbers. I just immediately started without using any of the, you know, the stuff you can buy in the store. One of the neighbors, actually, I shared that garden with, has chickens. So we just always used her chicken, droppings.
Mm-hmm.
And even now that's what I use is the chicken waste.
Well, I
so
always
I've
tell people
really learn from the farmer's market people mostly and some reading, and really, to be honest, this isn't for brownie points, but I've learned so much from hearing the guests on your podcast that I like write stuff down when I'm listening at work to make sure I remember to look something up or try something.
Aw, thanks, Joe. I have to say, I've learned a ton. I know people are learning, so, you know, it's cool. And, oh, I always tell people that our chickens are purely for the manure. The eggs are just bonus.
Right.
So, all right. Well, so tell us about something that did grow well this year.
Yeah, right now, and you know, we're talking in, you know, mid August. I don't even like zucchini, but I planted some for my parents because they enjoy them so much. Mm-hmm. I bought a tray of six, you know, at the farmer's market, six seedlings, and gave two to them in a big pot on their back deck where they're living now. And then put two in my garden. I gave two to neighbors. These things are, the leaves are so big, it could like cover a seat. And it is giving me five or each, I have two plants, are giving me like five or six zucchini a week. I am giving them away hand over fist. I've even cooked some. I don't, you know, I like them enough. I could grill them now and again. So the zucchini, the first year I put them in, are going nuts. My cukes are doing really good, but they always do. But really surprising is radishes, because I've never had the patience to like separate seeds. I've heard people talk about it on your show, and you talk about it. This year, I just listened to the river, and I was outside, and it was a nice day, so I put the seeds, spaced them. They are growing so good. I'm actually on my second batch, which I'm digging up this week, and I'm going to put a third batch in and see if I can get a third bunch of radishes going. I'm giving them away. I mean, I can't eat them, but I don't mind. I love that they're growing, so I'm just growing them and giving them to all my friends and neighbors.
Aw. No, okay. Are you in northern Maine or southern Maine? What part of Maine? Because Maine's a big state.
I'm in eastern Maine. We're actually in zone 5A.
Okay.
Maine has a lot of zones, like up north, which is potato country. They grow a lot of potatoes up in northern Maine. That's like 3A, so their growing season is really short. It's like a 5B zone along the coast. So we have quite a few growing zones. I'm in 5A. And we're like, I'm only about 50 feet above sea level, so I'm pretty close to sea level.
Okay. How about...
I was going to say, the actual, the primary campus of the University of Maine is located here in my hometown. Oh. So even though our population, when the school is away, you know, the regular population might be 10,000, that goes up by about 12,000 when the students are in, coming up soon here. But it's a small town that gets big with the college being here.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. I never appreciated how cool it is to have a college or university in your town until I lived where I didn't have one. And I never realized how much I think it affected me. Like, we would walk through, there was a college behind my parents' house, and we would walk through there getting home from middle school almost every day. And so I was always surrounded by these college students. And I really think that had, like, you know, just influenced me that I would always go to college, just having that there and just having college. There's always cultural stuff that goes on. So cool.
And what's really neat about it is that Maine is a big forestry and agriculture college, geology, engineering. So I actually have used, I say used, I don't mean it that way, but I've actually been able to get information from, like, people pay whatever, thousands of dollars to go to school. I've got, like, these professors I can ask. One's a forestry professor, so he's been giving me information when I make maple sap, you know, into syrup. And a geology professor was telling me how, oh, you know, when you dig your, you know, when you dig your lawn and turn it to garden, save the sod because you can use that as compost. So he was telling me how to compost that. Mm-hmm. It's been really cool having these friends of mine actually are like very much into providing information to help with my gardening.
Cool.
It's been
all
a
right.
great resource.
And that's why you're here to share all that you've learned with us today.
Yes.
Okay. How about something you're excited to try new or different next year?
Something the farmers market here, all the vendors have these salad turnips. Have you heard of them? They're small and they're white and they're about the size of a radish, and they grow underground with, like, a, you know, the leaves that come up, you know, they look like a radish. They're a turnip, I guess. Mm-hmm. They don't taste like your grandmother's turnips, and I'm not a turnip fan. These things are so good, Jackie. They're almost like a radish without the spice, if I were to describe them.
Where do you get the seeds? I'm going to have to try some of those.
Well, I'm going to find that out when I go up Saturday to the farmer's market, because I think what they do is they, through through the season, they let the other ones in the ground grow up to be regular sized turnips. So I think maybe they're just pulling them early.
Oh. But like kind of so thinning. Good.
Maybe sure. Even. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you, when they pull them out, they're about the mm-hmm. size of a radish. They slice up. They're so good, like with hummus or in a salad or just mm-hmm. to like pop in your mouth. And the other cool part is the leaves are edible. So you can just like saute them or throw them in a salad or mm-hmm. like a turnip leaf, essentially. And they're so good. So I want to find out this week how they get them or if there's a specific name. So I want to grow some next year for sure.
All right. Well, let me know and we'll put it in the show notes because I just had Megan Kane back on yesterday. She's been my most downloaded episode from the Creative Vegetable Farmer.
Yeah.
And we were talking about fall plantings and she recommended radishes and turnips was a big one. So that would be cool if we could have turnip radishes.
Yep. Yeah, they were so good. I'm just like, I need to find them.
Cool. That sounds good. I love turnips. We don't really grow turnips. I think turnips are hard for us because they get a lot of bugs and they get really woody here in this, in our soil. So we haven't really grown a lot of turnips. But I would eat my grandmother's turnips any day. Tell us about something that didn't work so well this season. Anything that was super challenging?
I always struggle the last few years with melons, even though I get them as seedlings. I think that our growing season here is just short enough that if we lose any time to extended cold weather or maybe an early fall with cool weather, that the melons just don't have a chance to mature. I don't have a hoop house or anything. I know a lot of the farmers around here do, so I think that helps. I don't, so I've always struggled with melons.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not giving up.
We got these new melon seeds from this gentleman who, I guess, went to like Siberia and brought back all these seeds from over in Russia that are like cold hardy seeds, and then he lived in the Rocky Mountains for a while, and so we ordered some of those, and I just took a picture of them yesterday. There's like the tiniest little watermelon and two cantaloupes, so we're hopeful again, but we also have that same problem that the frost kills them and it just doesn't, and we do not have hoop houses either, so we're gonna give it one more try.
Yeah.
How about something that you find is easy to grow and generally successful every time?
Cucumbers and maybe zucchini, as I've learned this year. But I know for me, cucumbers are fantastic. Any of pickling or salad size, they seem to grow really well. And again, I start them from seedlings that I get from Snake Root Organic Farm up at my farmer's market here.
Nice. I like that your farmer's market is mostly organic. For some reason, like, and I know a few of my listeners and people I've talked to, like, I think there's an assumption that if you go to a farmer's market, it's all organic. And I think people are always surprised that that's not the case. I know I am. I kind of have that assumption. And then kind of, you do kind of have to check. And then I noticed I went to the farmer's market here in Columbia Falls a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed like people were kind of like, they almost thought I was like the certified police. Like when I was asking them, they thought I was going to like bust them and like, no, we're just pesticide free. We're not certified organic. Yeah. And I was just like, well, you know, earth friendly is good with me, but it was kind of like funny, like if somebody had gone through and called them on it or something.
Right.
Okay, how about something you would steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in your climate? Would that be the melons, or?
Yeah, I guess if there's listeners from my area, I would say melons. Unless you have a hoop house or a greenhouse, it seems to be that it's just fickle enough that, like, we had a pretty cool June, so I'm not really thinking my melons are going to end up maturing before fall gets here, just because June was a little chilly for us.
Okay. Which activity, do you have an activity that's your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Anything you got to force yourself to get out there and do?
I know for a lot of people it's weeding, but even though I went away for a week vacation, I came back and it was like, the weeds are here. So I'm still sort of catching up with that. But I actually don't mind that. I don't like to pull up a plant that's failing. That kind of hurts because you want them all to produce something, but Like for me this year, my green pepper seedling that I bought, I've got like four of the six are doing well, but the other two were just struggling. And I was like, no, you know, a little more chicken manure or worm casing, say, oh, you'll be okay. But they just didn't. And I just finally decided, you know, they're not going anywhere. So I pulled them just to save from watering them and all that. So maybe pulling a failing plant would be the worst for me.
And that's interesting. So you got all the seedlings at the same place at the same time, and just two of them didn't make it, huh? I think that's kind of a lesson for people, though, that, you know, sometimes that happens. So,
but the ones that are producing the bell peppers, the green bell peppers for me, are just going, you know, I'm pulling one or two every fourth day, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, they're not like your grocery store size. They're a little bit smaller, bigger than like a hot pepper or something, but a little bit smaller. And it's an heirloom that Snake Root Organic Farm has been doing themselves. You know, it's that kind of seed. They do their own seeds, and they have their own tomato varieties and stuff. So it's just, when I had to pull those, it was a little bit of pain in my heart, Jackie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe next year, maybe something else will grow in that space that you'll really like. That's hard, though. I know. Like, even thinning is still hard for me. And I've been like, and cutting the flowers. I was like, all right, I'm going to cut the flowers. I don't know why. Now I can pull leaves off my basil plant till I'm blue in the face and make it look like it's just.
Right.
But I guess maybe I have the confidence. I know I've done it so many times. My basil plant's going to grow back. But cutting the flowers is a tough one, even for me, just to bring a bouquet in the house. And I have so many flowers this year. I don't know. I feel your pain. So what's your favorite activity to do in the garden?
I love being barefoot in the dirt. So I don't care what I'm doing. I know I my family laughs at me because once the good weather hits here, I don't have shoes on. I just like to walk around barefoot, and it's especially great in like freshly turned dirt. So when I'm tilling, let's say I turned lawn into garden this year. So I actually hand tilled it with a garden fork and turned the sod over and got rid of that, kept the dirt, and being in that loose dirt that was just turned and hadn't seen the light of day since Gramp shut his garden down in the early 90s. Oh, it was just great. So I like being barefoot in the dirt, so I don't care what I'm doing. That's why I don't mind weeding.
Cool. That's one of my favorite projects, actually, to turn sod into a garden bed. Like, that's the kind of dirty, I almost think it's almost one of the cleaner garden jobs. I guess when you're shaking out that dirt, maybe not. But yeah, I can totally relate. Cool. And new garden beds is always exciting.
Yeah. My friends laughed at me because they're like, why don't you just get a tiller? And it was one of your episodes from Kathy's Nightcrawlers or Kathy's Crawlers.
Kathy Nesbitt talking up about in Toronto.
Yeah, and I'm actually on her Facebook page, so I get all her updates and stuff.
Cool.
But I was like, geez, I don't want to wreck my worms. So I decided to just use the garden fork and do it by hand. I had the time, and for the past 3 years, I've been dieting to lose weight. I got way too heavy, and so I've lost like 60 pounds in 3 years.
Wow! Oh my goodness!
Yeah. And that's been mostly through diet, and I don't really exercise. But when it came time for my garden, I was like, people are laughing at me. I'm using my garden fork. And like, use it. I'm like, no. Some people pay to go to a gym to get a workout. I'm doing it, and I'm going to get food out of it. So for me, hand tilling was okay. I have no problem doing it.
What does Kelly call it? Garden CrossFit or permaculture CrossFit or something.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what my husband's theory is. Like, I'm always going to the woods, like, to go for walks or bike rides or go hiking. And his theory is, like, if we're going to the woods, we're going to get firewood or collect, you know, mushrooms or huckleberry picking, bushwhacking, my least favorite thing in the world to do. And then, of course, the garden. Like, you know, he just gets so much exercise out there. But I don't, that just doesn't work for me. It's so unfair. You guys, you got that metabolism, that gardening metabolism. All right, tell us about the best crop you ever grew. Was there a year that everything was just so prolific you didn't know what to do with it all?
Yeah, I got to go back to cucumbers because I put in like 12 cucumber plants, and I stopped counting after I had picked over 150 cukes off those 12
150?
Plants. Yes, it was crazy, Jackie. I don't know what happened. The weather was perfect, or it was the chicken manure, or, you know, I'm not sure. They liked the music I played when I'd go over and work in the garden. But they just were growing, and every time I picked up a vine, there were like three more, and a couple of the, you know, branches went off into the weeds, and I pulled them up. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, I was giving cucumbers away hand over fist. I decided to try pickling that year, and I couldn't get a dill brine that worked for me in the first couple batches, so I made mustard pickles. Have you heard of those? Yeah, my Canadian grandfather
like mustard
used
relish,
to make them.
Kinda?
Exactly, okay. Exactly. Okay. So it's kind of sweet. It's not like a spicy mustard. It sort of ends up being a sweet pickle, but, you know, I sliced them into slices and did them like my Canadian grandfather used to make them all the time, and I just remembered, and I said, Mom, what was it that the pear used to make? And she says, oh, the mustard pickles. Yeah, so I looked online to find mustard pickle recipes, found a couple, and then sort of made my own out of those, and oh, they were so good.
Sound good.
Yeah.
You know what I want to know, don't you? What's your playlist? Gonna share the playlist for the cucumbers? I wanted
like
that
music.
To be a question, but like my first like five guests were all like, what? I don't listen to music in the garden. So.
Right. Well, I do like to listen to the river. I do like just to be out there and hear the birds and, you know, and hear the river going. But oftentimes I'll play music, and I sort of listen to that genre that I think nowadays is called Americana. So it's kind of the alternative country. You know, I might be saying names people have never heard of, but bands like Wilco and My Morning Jacket, and I like some bluegrass mixed in with that. And that's mostly what I play. But every now and again, I get a kick and just have to have the Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin going. So the plants are patient with my music, too.
Yeah, you just said that for me. Okay, cool. What's the best gardening advice you have ever received?
One of the professors from the University of Maine, when I was growing Brussels sprouts for the first time a couple years ago, told me, and I didn't know this, he said, you have to snip the top of the plant off around late August or early September. And that, I guess, tells the plant to stop growing upward and instead put all your energy into making the vegetable, in this case, the Brussels sprouts, plump up. And he told me that the Brussels sprouts can actually survive a couple of frosts up here without killing them.
Okay.
So, yeah, we pick them like into late October. So that was nice to know because I really like Brussels sprouts. So knowing that, I think, helped give me a decent crop that first year and a decent crop last year.
All right. This is kind of embarrassing to admit, but Mike wanted some cauliflower plants, and they were on sale at Super One or somewhere, and I grabbed like three trays because they were so, you know, three little six packs because they were so cheap, and I get them in the car, and he's like, you know, these are not all cauliflower. These are Brussels sprouts over here, these ones. So we have Brussels sprouts growing, and so got any other, like, I don't know, is there anything else I should know about what we need to do with them? They're growing. They're huge.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure when you would need to clip the top, but at some point you like clip the top part of the plant, you know, where because it just keeps growing up and up and up. You clip that so it stops growing up, and then it puts its energy into developing the vegetables.
Okay.
As he, you know, so it was an agriculture professor, so it's not something you know I've learned in school. It's what was information passed to me, and it has worked for me. And then, of course, you know, when they're ready to pick, you'll cut the stalk, and then you sort of have to use a paring knife or something to get them off the stalk. But they're so good.
Mm, okay. How do you cook your Brussels sprouts? I just steam them with salt and pepper.
I used to do that, and I still do. But I visited friends in Philadelphia over the New Year's for a week, and I went to this German restaurant. And I got these Brussels sprouts that they had baked in an oven with olive oil and salt, pepper, garlic, and some, like, white onion. Mm-hmm. And they were so good. So I'm trying to, my hope is that I can replicate that. I bought Brussels sprouts in the store to try to replicate it. I'm working on it. That's going to be my next thing, is to try to bake them. But I do, I like to steam them, or I like to pan fry them with a little garlic and olive oil, you know, salt and pepper, and cut them in half, you know, and then cook them that way. They're great. Okay. I love Brussels sprouts.
Me too. Have you ever entered a fair?
No, not with any product, just to ride the tilt-a-whirl.
Oh, cool. A favorite tool that you would like to, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what's your can't live without tool?
It would probably be that garden fork. I think that's what it's called. It's sort of like a pitchfork, but instead of real thin tines, they're more flat and broad, so you can actually, you know, dig it into the soil and pull up soil without it all just falling through. And that's what I really, that really helped me do, you know, clear that sod out in order to put the garden in. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to use it to get my carrots out. I'm wondering if that'll help me get my carrots out.
I was just going to say, I was asking Mike, because I was going to write a blog post about our two compost bins, and we have one pitchfork up here that is sharper, and then the one down below. And he was explaining to me the one down below is not a pitchfork at all. It's actually a potato harvester or something. That's probably, and it sounds kind of like what you're talking about. So probably, yeah, that's good for carrots and potatoes.
Yeah. That might be, like I said, that's what Grandpa always called it. So that's kind of, and I'm using the one that he had. I mean, it's an old one. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Nice. Do you have any secrets for preserving food or making it last longer or anything like that? Drying, dehydrating, canning?
I would love to get a dehydrator and hope to, Santa Claus, if you're listening. I know canning because my mom used to do it when I was a kid. She shared a little bit of Gramps garden, and she would grow tomatoes and zucchini and green beans and carrots, and she would can all of that. So I do the water bath. Mm-hmm. I've heard some of your guests talk about pressure canning. I don't know that method, but the water bath method is what I use to make the pickles, you know, when I actually can those to be able to put them on a shelf. And I make raspberry jam, so I use canning for that. Mm. Blackberry jam soon, and I'll do the water bath canning. So I use canning, but I do want to get a dehydrator at some point to try that method too.
So do you have like blackberry and raspberry? But you do, right? Have blackberry and raspberry bushes or raspberry bushes, right?
Yeah, the raspberry patch. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, do you get them at the farmer's market or?
I don't. There is a couple of my neighbors here at maybe 15 or 16 years ago started digging up raspberries plants that they would find along the riverbank or behind an abandoned house, mm-hmm. and started putting them into this one spot pretty much across the street from where I live onto land that just isn't used, mm-hmm. Along the river. And a couple years later, she actually brought some wild raspberry plants up from her mom and dad's house in southwestern Maine, a berry that was much larger than the ones we have here, which are really tiny raspberries. Mm-hmm. So she dug some up from her parents' property, brought them up. Well, now all these years later, we have this enormous raspberry patch. We throw fertilizer from the chicken coop too, all over it, you know, right after the snow starts melting. We just kind of throw it on the snow and let it melt in with the snow. We mm-hmm. prune back the dead branches. We pull weeds. And the work that they did all these years later results in just an enormous amount of raspberries. Our recent winter really put a beating on the raspberry patch, so we didn't get quite as many this year. Mm-hmm. But the new growth that we saw, and I can see now even, is it just looks like next year is going to be a humongous year. And I'll give you comparisons. Last season, so 2014, myself, I picked 40 pounds of raspberries.
Oh, my goodness.
40 pounds. And wow. I know that, like, Denise and her family picked about the same amount. Her son Chase and his wife picked about the same amount. Our other neighbors that also help put it in and, you know, take care of it. They pick that amount. So it's just prolific. And it's neat because we have the large berry plants that came up from southwestern Maine that are still growing. We have the small berry plants. And I don't pretend to know how all the, you know, the genetics of it works, or, but we also now have a medium berry plants growing up. So somehow the plants intermerged, and so we have like three size berries you can pick, and they are so prolific. It's just fantastic to have this like right across the street. Because they years ago had the foresight, hey, let's just start putting them together. This field isn't being used except for weeds, and we'll dig a little garden and put that into, and now we have this fantastic raspberry patch. This year, however, because of the beating the plants took from all the snow and weeds kind of got ahead of the plants being able to rise up, I only got 20 pounds, you know? Oh,
poor you. Only 20 pounds.
Yeah, poor me. Yeah, first world problems.
Our raspberries kind of faded out this year, too, out of the, which is, we've had forever, and I don't know what exactly happened, but a similar deal. The weeds just overtook it, but we didn't get any raspberries this year, which I've never seen
us do. Oh, too bad.
20 pounds.
The blackberry patch, there's just a wild blackberry patch growing along the river a little further down the street that I'm going to go check this weekend, because they come in right after the raspberries go out.
Oh, okay.
Is how it times for us here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about, do you have any special techniques for cooking weird or unusual foods, or weird or unusual techniques for cooking ordinary foods?
So it's not something that I actually grow, but we have something here in Maine we call fiddleheads, which are essentially ferns that start to come up in the spring, and it's a certain genus. I'm not sure which, but everybody knows where they grow, and they always go back and they cut them down. So, and they look like a fiddlehead, you know, they're curled around like a fern before it has actually unfurled. And that's like, people up here, Jackie, love fiddleheads. So people, you know, my cousin actually will go pick them at the base of Katahdin, which is the tallest mountain here in my part of the state. And, you know, so I'll get some fiddleheads from him, and I like to boil them just for about 5 minutes. It really keeps that nice green color. Mm-hmm. And then I saute them with onions and garlic and some salt and pepper and olive oil. And they're great. But you only get them in the spring because, you know, then the plants, you know, have already unfurled and are living their life through the summer.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like asparagus.
Right, exactly.
I mean, they don't look like asparagus, but, you know, you only get those right just in the very beginning of the spring.
Right.
Cool.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I like that.
Yeah, so I like fiddleheads.
All right. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook that does come from your garden?
Well, I'm looking forward to trying the Brussels sprouts for sure. But what I've done this year is I grew some Swiss chard for the first time, and I brought that in, and using tips from some of your previous listeners, I've never realized how great sauteing something is. It's so easy, and you just need olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe garlic, some onions or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm really into sauteing, and the Swiss chard was fantastic when I sauteed that. And just, again, basic. It was just olive oil, salt and pepper, a little bit of crushed garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Next year I hope to actually have the garlic will also be out of my garden.
Mm. Okay, cool. Are you going to put that in the fall? I think you plant garlic in the fall, right?
Yes. Yep. One of my other gardener friends has told me that how to do it, so I'm going to be doing that here come, you know, September, sometime next month.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. I'm going to say spectacular because I say cool too often. How about a favorite internet resource? Anywhere you go when you look for gardening stuff?
I do. And it's only because I'm leaning on a lot of people from Maine who grow in our climate. I use a site from the University of Maine. Their cooperative extension site has a ton of information for growing in this area. And Snake Root Organic Farm, their website is actually fantastic with information. And I think the other one is, and I know I'm naming three here, but there's actually a group, the Maine Organic Farmers and Growers Association, or MOFGA, and their website is really, really great, too, for information for growing.
Excellent.
So those are the three. Yeah, I can't keep it at just one.
That's okay. I'll put the links to all those in the show notes, so that's super.
Sure.
How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine or anything, a blog?
I have to admit, I don't really, other than those internet sites, I don't really pick up any reading material for the gardening part. I've really gone online for that.
That's okay. And you are just doing such a great job of reaching out to people firsthand. So we'll just wait till your book comes out and we'll add it to the show notes.
The Joe Gannett Gardener.
Cool. Oh, I like that. Yes, get your blog up. Perfect. Ready for the final question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. If there was one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or a project you would like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel, Joe, is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
I wish we had people in Washington that didn't support Monsanto so much. It would be nice to get those people out of office so that there wasn't so much protection given to them because, you know, there, wasn't there that food bill that was just passed that they're not allowing states to label things as organic, the labeling law, because just it seems like there's too much power in the government that isn't allowing people to choose the food they want to eat while knowing what's in it. It seems like that needs to change, in my opinion.
Now I can't think of it. I think
food labeling law.
Yeah, there's people want it to say they want labels that say if food has GMOs in it, you know,
right.
Genetically modified organisms. If those,
right.
You know, they just want the label on there, and then, you know, you can buy it or you cannot buy it. And the food companies are complaining about it. But
right.
There's this commercial I watch on TV every morning. I can't believe I can't think of it right now. I want to say it's like the flashlight campaign. I'll put the link to it. It's on Free Speech TV, but they do this really cool thing where you can go see where the money's going, what companies are paying who, and they follow the trail. And the example that they give is like, so in California, they wanted to create this really cool thing where school kids would get fresh fruit every afternoon for a snack. And the processing food company said, oh, well, you know, we're not going to make any money off of fresh fruit. We want to be able to have like fruit cups and, you know, processed food. So let's change the bill so it says nutritious food. And so they crossed out fresh fruit everywhere. And now it says nutritious fruit. And so, you know, everybody went for the bill and thought it sounds good. But in reality, you know, processed fruit is not always as nutritious. A lot of times it's got sugars in it. It's got heavy syrups in it. And it's not the same fresh fruit that the kids get. And so it's simple things like that, but they have a great website where you can actually look and see the statistics and who's getting what money and how our country works that way.
And what's that flashlight you said?
I want to say it's flashlight, but I can't.
Yeah.
I'll
look that up. Nice. I mean, I need to be educated on it too, but it seems like we should know what's in our food, and I don't understand why there are roadblocks to that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. California really tried hard to pass it, and they could not get it passed. Now, Hawaii, on the flip side, I had a guest tell us that Hawaii did with a very small grassroots campaign. And I get so frustrated when people say, oh, there's nothing I can do. Because in reality, in America, it is. When people get together, we have a voice, and that's what changes things. And you can have a politician who totally agrees with you, is 100% on your side, but if he doesn't have public support or she doesn't have the public support behind her, they can't do anything anyway. So all I can say, listeners, is, you know, support your local people, because sometimes
exactly.
They are on your side more than you think, and they need to hear from you. But there's certainly lots of corrupt politicians out there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's and I have to, you know, speaking because I live in Maine, so I'll, you know, speak to Maine. there's actually been an upsurge in Maine in agriculture, although Maine is always listed in, you know, number 50 of the state with the oldest median age. We're always the oldest state, according to those studies. What's interesting that people don't know about is Maine actually has the youngest farmers of all the states.
Oh, how interesting.
Like, there was like a 40... Yeah, the USDA did a study based on the 2012 census, and between 2007 and 2012, I think it was, in those 5 years, young farmers, which they indicated to be 34 years of age or younger, increased by 40% in Maine, while the national average for other states was 1.5%. So there are a lot of young people who are coming to Maine because there's land available. They can put a farm, you know, on, you know, 4 or 5 acres and just specialize in one or two things, have the farmer's market to go to support, you know, getting their product out there. So I'm really excited about all this. And even like NPR did the story in January of this year about the younger farmers in Maine. So I think for our state, I think there's definitely an awareness to making sure that we have access to these really terrific tasting, you know, vegetables and fruits. And in the case of, like, there's a lot of organic, like grass-fed beef farms and, you know, milk and chickens and all that. So it's really a great. There's a lot of negative about it, but I really like that Maine seems to be in the forefront of getting better food availability to the residents.
Cool. I keep telling people, these millennials are on it. They're the coolest generation ever, I think. They're doing a pretty good job. And they just seem to be super socially conscious and environmentally conscious, and I just think they're going to be the world changers. Certainly lots of podcasters are millennials and entrepreneurs and stuff, kids out there.
Right. That MOFCA group, the Maine Organic Farmers and Growers Association, they actually help these young farmers get loans and find land and things like that. So it's really a great group.
Cool. Okay, listeners, if you're thinking of trying to figure out where you want to go, like Nikki and Jeremy, maybe you need to head towards Maine.
Yes. I just listened to that one the other day.
Cool. All right, so I got to say two quick things about Maine. Number one, my favorite podcaster, John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire, and I would not have the Organic Gardener podcast without him, is from Maine. And this other friend of mine that I grew up with, John O'Shea, wrote this book that has nothing to do with gardening. It's called Shakespeare's Revenge, but it is a great suspenseful story about Maine. And so if you like a good novel, you got to get through the first chapter. The rest of the book is nothing like the first chapter. That's, you know, back in the Shakespeare age or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. But the rest of the book is just one of the best mysteries I've ever read. And it's all about Maine. So just two little main tips.
Yeah. And Stephen King lives in Bangor, which is the city that I'm next to. So
really?
I know where. Yes. So I, you know, that's our claim to fame is Mr. King and lobster and maybe organic gardening soon.
Yeah. Cool. I think we went up there when I was a kid and vacation. Like, is that near Bar Harbor then?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm about an hour from Bar Harbor. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that was like one of the all-time best vacations we ever took. We still talk about that to this day. Just, it was such an adventure. And we went up to like Nova Scotia and had a whole adventure up there and then came back. And I remember, like, you know, collecting the mussels on the beach and just so beautiful. And what a great place to live.
Yeah.
All right.
You definitely get all four seasons for sure.
I like that. I'm a cold weather girl, so, you know, I think that'd be a perfect place to be.
Right.
So do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Well, you know, when I was getting ready to talk to you, I was thinking, oh, I got to look something up. And I thought, oh, that's going to be too forced. So I don't really have a quote, but I just know that for me, it looked like a big project converting this section of land. And I got 18 feet by 55 feet dug. It seemed daunting, like I was never going to do it. And now that I've got it done, I'm like, I still got another 20 feet I can push out next year. So I'm so excited to do that. So start small and then go where, you know, your gardening and your plants tell you you should go, I guess is what I would say.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that. I like that a lot. I don't know about the start small 18 by 50 pot.
I didn't. I'm saying they should.
More like 8 by 10.
Yeah.
Listeners, but if you're super ambitious like Joe and you want to lose 60 pounds and you're gardening CrossFit, get out there and go for it.
Well, I actually just bought so many. I bought so many seedlings. I was like, oh, where am I going to put them all? Dig, 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 dig.
Aw, cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, for coming back this next week. I know I forced you to, last week didn't work out, but it's better this week because my computer's working too. Last week we had Skype problems because I didn't have a good connection, but I also was having sound problems. So I got that fixed, stayed home, got the good Skype connection today, and I'm headed to a farm tour of the Lower Valley Farm. In Kalispell.
Oh, great.
So that's going to be exciting this afternoon. Yeah.
And this weekend actually is the 21st anniversary of the Orono Farmers Market. So after they're done with all their sales at 1 o'clock, they're having a big barbecue. They're going to have live music and a little party. So that's what I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Excellent. All right. Well, have fun.
Great. Thank you.
Thank
you, Jackie, so much for inviting me on. When you invited me, I felt like an ant among giants because you've had so many great guests, and I've listened to every podcast, and it's really humbling and really cool, I'm going to use your word, to have been asked to be on. So thank you, and thank you to the listeners for tuning in, for sure.
Well, thanks for sharing your story. You gave us lots of cool knowledge and stuff, and I learned a ton. And do you want listeners to connect with you or?
Sure. It's my email is Joe the Mason, JoeTheMason at gmail.com. I don't have a degree in anything, but I'm happy to share any information or if people have questions. I'm more than happy to chat for sure.
Cool. Oh, thank you so much for coming and sharing everything today and being a great guest.
Thank you. Have a wicked awesome day.
Okay, cool. All right. Hey everyone, Jackie Marie Beyer here, your host for the Organic Gardener Podcast. I want to announce we're going to have a new contest for August. This is kind of something I used to do when I ran a printer and, you know, as a teacher, always in the coloring sheets. So I designed a little Organic Gardener Podcast coloring sheet you can download off of our website at theorganicgardenerpodcast.com, just organicgardenerpodcast.com. I'll try to put maybe a link on the top of the page. And, everybody knows a kid. You've got grandkids, regular kids, nieces, nephews, next door neighbors, you know, friends, somebody, I'm sure. There's a kid in your life who can color a picture of you in your garden. You can use our coloring sheet or you can just submit your own original drawing. It doesn't have to be on that coloring sheet, but I just made that so it wouldn't be so intimidating, so it'd be easier. So just a picture of you. I'm big on stick figures. I can do a lot with a stick figure. In your garden, and then we'll pick a winner or two and they will win some note cards, just like I make my note cards. So just, you know, click a picture of it, email it to me. I'll put a little submission thing on the website. Just send us a picture. You know, it's orgpodcast@gmail.com, orgpodcast@gmail.com for organic podcast, organic garden, podcast@gmail.com. And send us your contest entry for the coloring contest. I also wanted to say thank you, everybody, for the just super supportive, kind comments. I'm still working on transferring everything to the new MacBook, but it seems to be working. Kelly was the last episode on the old MacBook. Marissa's interviews and the GrowBot people were the first ones on the new MacBook. Everybody's been loving Marissa. It seems like we're getting lots more views on the website, which makes me feel so good. If you have any questions, anything you want to learn how to cook, you can reach out to her at thekitcheninmissoula@gmail.com, and she'd be happy to answer. Anything you want to know how to cook, we'd be happy to talk about on the show. She's just a super chef. I've tasted her cooking, and it's just delicious.
So I'm glad people are liking that part. If there's anything Mike and I can help you with, a few people have been asking me questions I'm trying to find answers for. If you would like to be a guest or you know a guest, you know, we really want to hit all 50 states. I think we're up to 17 states now with the kids from Hawaii, the Grobot kids we got on, or I guess they're not all kids. I think the creator's actually my age. But yeah, we got Hawaii in there. So if you know someone or you want to be a guest, thanks for reaching out to me. I've been trying to answer everybody. It's Jackie Marie Beyer, B-E-Y-E-R, on Facebook. If I haven't gotten back to you or I've missed something, I'm super sorry. I found a whole bunch of comments in the spam part of WordPress that I didn't know existed. And speaking of WordPress, hopefully we're going to get our site redesigned in August. I have a few things I'm working on there. Probably won't show up until September, but we're going to try to redesign it, make it easier to search for things, make it easier to find things. So if I have missed your comment, I'm sorry. I did, like I said, find a bunch of comments in the spam folder. Some were really spam, but more than not were not. And so I don't know why they've been pulling them out. Hit me up on Facebook. It's Jackie Marie Beyer. I'm still trying to figure out how to, kind of manage that part with the Organic Gardener podcast and then my artist site. But you can like the Organic Gardener podcast page. Sometimes when you send messages there, they go to the other folder, I guess. There's an other messages folder. So I kind of have been trying to keep track of that. So I'm sorry if I've missed anything. And if you haven't heard back from me, I would say try again, because I did try to get everything caught up at the end of July. So if you haven't heard anything, I probably either didn't get it or I really missed it somewhere. So maybe just try again. I'm so sorry. But everybody who has been reaching out, thank you, thank you, thank you. It just encourages me. If there's anything you want to know, if there's any guests that you want to have on, if you want to be a guest, if you're growing in your garden, everybody's always surprised at how much they actually know and little tricks that they have to share. And I think that's part of why people like the show, because the variety of the guests. So like I said once before, I'm trying to hit all 50 states. I'm only up to like 17 states, which is pretty good. You know, we got Hawaii in there with the Grobot kids the other day. I call them kids. Haha. Anyway, thanks for listening. And just let me know if there's anything we can do to help you on your gardening journey. Jackie Marie Beyer signing out. Grow local.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com, like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. Thanks again for listening, and grow local.